Alaska's primary election is a week away. Our guest is in it, running for re-election after serving in the U.S. Senate for 40 years. That's historic. And so is this. After the primary, he's facing trial on felony charges of concealing gifts provided to him. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. Our guest today is Ted Stevens, here to talk with you about why he wants another 6 years in the U.S. Senate. He can't talk about the charges he's be trial on. Our number toll-free is 1-800-478-8255. That's 478-TALK. Ted Stevens on Talk of Alaska, statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by
the Alaska Community Foundation, encouraging listeners to tune into AK every weekend. Your local public radio station has airtimes.
APRN will be providing special coverage of the 50th anniversary of Alaska statehood. For sponsorship information, call 550-8400.
And we're open for business for your calls to Senator Ted Stevens. Senator, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Steve, it's nice to be back. I'm pleased to have a chance to visit with you.
Well, it's the first show we've ever done without having Joel Southern with us, and it feels very weird.
Yes, Joel. Great guy. I was surprised when he came to tell us he was going to leave the country.
Yeah. But we'll do the best we can without him. It's you and the voters, the people of Alaska. I guess I'll give you a chance to make your pitch right to start with. After 40 years, why another six?
There's so many things left undone, you know, Steve. I was there when we got statehood, and I know the commitments that were made to the state and to our people. We've worked hard to fulfill those, but we've run into so many roadblocks, primarily by the people who are against the development of our resources. I remember one senator, for instance, Weiss Fowler from the South. He introduced a bill to make the whole state of Alaska a national park. And when you're dealing with that attitude, he did not want us to have any rights other than those allowed us by the National Park Service. Now, that attitude has become increasingly acute since President Clinton vetoed the bill that contained the ANWR provision in 1995. Before that time, we had a bipartisan approach to almost everything we dealt with. Even the pipeline, although it was semi-political, we had some substantial support from the Democratic side, as we had a 49-49 vote back there at the time we got the statehood amendment passed. But when you look at it today, it's just primarily political. It's a political division caused by it's coming out of the same group that convinced President Clinton to veto that bill. And they blocked everything. They blocked timber. Our timber industry is gone almost. Mining is under attack. Oil and gas has been brought to a standstill. New jobs are – they've even challenged the number of cruise ships that come into our waters and the number of new tourist facilities that should be built along our roads. When you deal with the people like that, you can only do it with experience. You can only really know how you dealt with them on issue before and try to get Congress to listen to us rather than to them. Very difficult time. Be a hard time for Alaska, I think, if we send a new senator down to Washington now. There are so many things pending that are just totally ready to go now with public opinion changing behind us. Look at ANWR. The national figures are the public wants to explore and develop ANWR. It's the Democratic side of the Senate that blocks it. It's the presidential candidate that blocks it. Senator McCain voted for the bill that President Clinton vetoed, and he now has agreed to sit down with the governor and discuss the position decided by his staff, by the way, that he should oppose exploration and development. So I think that my experience, my know-how, my positions in the Senate are vital to this state's dealing with issues ahead of it in the next 2 to 3 years. We'll get into energy. I think really in the energy area, working with Senator Lisa Murkowski, when Lisa gets to be – when he goes back next year, she'll be number one on the Energy Committee. And I've got a senior position in Commerce and on Appropriations. So when we look at it, we've got the place, we've got the positions. We should use those in the next two Congresses.
You brought up ANWR at least five times during that opener. This clearly is a part of the legacy you want to leave, it sounds like. It sounds like it might be the reason that you want to stay and keep working on it.
I fought for 7 years for that provision that gave us the right to develop that 1.5 million acres on the Arctic. It has been blocked. It's frustrated Alaskans. It's frustrated me. I think it's caused a lot of the problems we face nationally. If we had that pipeline filled now, people would be looking all over the Arctic for more oil. No one's looking around because they know they're blocked. There's no reason to take on the getting a new lease now in that area, because if you do, this group that's opposed to this, they'll have them in court in a minute. The Chukchi leases are in court. The Arctic Ocean leases are in court immediately. And they started all this stuff about our polar bear being threatened. Our polar bear aren't threatened. There are more polar bear in Alaska than recent history. And yet they've used that threat, potential threat against the polar bear. They're listed now as threatened species. They take those two lease holders for Chukchi Sea and the Arctic Ocean, take them to court. Now, you know, I get excited about this. There is a battle going on, and why should you take out your guy when you're in the fifth round and he's winning?
Okay, let's try some calls from Alaskans. If you're ready, Senator, let's go to Bill. Joins the program from Wasilla. Hello. Hello, Bill. You're on Talk of Alaska with Ted Stevens.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I understand that you can't answer any specific questions about the nature of your current case in court, but I do have a question about how you're paying your legal bills. I think, you know, in the context of a corruption case, it's very important that the voters here, your constituents, know who's footing the bill for your legal expenses. So I'm curious who those contributors are, and if you won't answer the question, I would like to know why you think it's okay to hide that from your constituents.
I'm not hiding it at all. I'm not paying it for my campaign. There are rules that apply to the Legal Defense Fund. We will abide by those rules. They do not call for disclosure until a specific time, and when that specific time arrives, that will be disclosed.
When is that specific time?
That's fixed by law. I don't know exact date, but it hasn't come yet.
I don't have the statute in front of me either, Bill.
What's that?
I don't have the statute in front of me to know.
It's really basically it's a rule. It's a rule of the Senate regarding legal defense funds that we are complying with, and we do have a legal defense fund. I paid some of them out of my own pocket, but there is a legal defense fund, and it will be reported when the time comes.
Does the rule say that you can't disclose it right now? And if not, why not let people know right now?
I don't even know myself. But besides that, the answer is you're just trying to make it a political question. It's not a political question. It is a legal question, and it's in court. And I am not going to take it into my campaign.
You don't think that who's paying for your campaign is relevant to voters? Your court case is relevant to voters. Do you think that's completely irrelevant to deciding whether or not you're qualified to represent us in the United States Senate?
I think it's a matter of judgment. I think I'm entitled to the same concept of being innocent until proven guilty, which you don't seem to share.
Oh, I believe that you're innocent until proven guilty. I'm just talking about who's paying your legal bills. I mean, can you see that it's a separate issue?
I think, obviously, I'm going to have legal bills. And I've told you I paid some of them myself right now out of my money and Catherine's money. But beyond that, all of those are reported according to Senate rules, and I will comply with those rules.
All right, Bill?
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much for your question.
Thanks for the call.
Senator Ted Stevens is our guest. He's running for re-election. The primary is a week away. And it sounds like he is already looking ahead to the general election. Senator, what happens if you win the primary and the trial happens and you're convicted at trial?
I don't think about that. I have faith that that's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, approaching this whole issue, it's a matter of faith, Steve. And I am convinced I'm innocent, so I must maintain my position that I have faith that I will not be reaching that position you just indicated. If that happens, we'll have to make some decisions then. But I don't expect it in any way. I'm a lawyer. I was a U.S. attorney myself. I was the chief counsel of the Department of Interior. I've been practicing law for more than 50 years. I know better than be my own lawyer. I remember the old saying, a lawyer represents himself as a fool for a client. I'm not a fool. I have really good lawyers, the best there is, and we're waiting for some decisions now, what's going to happen in court. But as a practical matter, I fully expect to come back here and to complete the general election and to be elected.
Thank you. Let's go to another caller. This is Stephen, joins the program from Sitka. Welcome to Talk of Alaska with Ted Stevens. Stephen.
Hello. I would like to thank you, Senator Stevens, for your sponsorship of a bill that finally put some teeth in a law that will prohibit the tobacco companies from advertising to and addicting our children to their products. I was wondering what you thought the chances were of moving this bill onto the floor and getting it put into law.
I don't know exact chances now because of the log jam that's there in the Senate. We have so many bills that are backed up because of our desire to deal with the question of drilling in the Outer Continental Shelf and exploring and developing Anwar. Those are the issues that are pending back there. The leadership keeps trying to run other bills in to take us off of that bill that they know we have the votes to pass. And we're only going to be in session from about September 8th to the end of September. So I doubt very seriously we have a chance to get these bills passed this year. You know, I was the one that introduced the first bill to ban smoking and except in designated places in federal buildings. I joined Senator Lautenberg, who too is a World War II type, and we banned smoking on airplanes. We extended that to airports except in designated places. We've been trying to control the smoking, particularly smoking cigarettes, for a long time, and I think that this bill you're talking about is a progression of that. I do believe it'll pass. Senator Lautenberg's up for election, too. We both expect to be reelected. We're both the same age, by the way, Steve, so it's one of those things we're facing similar problems, but I think we'll be back fighting for that bill next year.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I'd like to thank you again for your support of that, being one of the sponsors of that bill. They've been kind of skating around the law for years and advertising to our kids, and it's time that ends, and I'm glad you recognize that.
Good. Thank you very much.
All right, Stephen. Thank you. Yeah, generally speaking, Senator Stevens, you're all for fitness issues, whether it's Olympics or any of that.
I was the author of the Olympic bill. Most people forget that. It's called the Ted Stevens Amateur Sports Act.
Yeah,
it got enacted after I served as a member of President Ford's Commission on Olympic Sports, and we found out the problem was we didn't have a U.S. Olympic Committee. We were not doing well because we didn't know the rules. We didn't have someone be an advocate for us athletes when they were abroad. And today we've got an organization that's really supported by the country, and they're doing wonderfully.
We're open for your calls to Senator Ted Stevens, running for re-election, 1-800-478-8255. You may recall 2 weeks ago we had Dave Cuddy, one of his opponents in the primary election. And Cuddy, very decently, it was the day of the indictment, and Cuddy very decently said, I'm simply not going to talk about this. And that's the way he left it. Now, you and he have butted heads before. What do you think distinguishes the two of you, and why should people, Republicans and independents, vote for you instead of him?
Well, I've known David all his life. I know his family very well, consider them to be very close friends, and I think that the difference is that David really hasn't settled down. He was born in Alaska, but he keeps flitting around and going outside and coming back and doing this and doing that. I think that he's a fine young man. But I just don't think he has the battle in him to do the battles we have to fight over our resources. Think of the resources we have: wind power, solar power, tidal power, current power, geothermal power, you know, coal gasification, coal liquefactions. We have, of course, the normal oil and gas. We have coal bed methane. We have methane coming out of our lakes. Energy is going to be the big issue, and we've got a team today now working with Lisa on energy and me on commerce and appropriations where we can work on those issues. And we've got to convince the state to come forward and be a participant. We're going to get $12 billion income this year, Steve, from our sale of a third of oil. It's only a third of the pipeline. The pipeline's only one-third full. Just think, if it was full, we'd be getting $36 billion a year right now. And not that we need any more, but that money should be invested in future renewable and alternative forms of energy and create jobs now. We ought to build Susitna. That's what I'd like to see start. That didn't go forward because people thought it was too expensive. And that was back when oil was selling for $7 a barrel. So Susitna should be built now, and the state's got the money to start it. It should be started immediately. We want jobs.
It's Ted Stevens is our guest on Talk of Alaska, and Charles joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Charles.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Senator, my question is, and I know you've said that you can't discuss the specifics of your case, or and that you say you feel you're innocent, but if you are convicted, would you take a presidential pardon, or would you live with the court verdict?
Why would I cross a bridge I haven't seen? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, sir, I just think it's something that the Alaskan public should know.
Why? You tell me why. I've been around the state. This morning I have had more questions about the case and what I would do if I lost it than I've had in the last month. So,
sir, I believe this is only the second question about the case, and I think it's a fair one.
That's the second one I've had statewide.
All right,
thank
Charles.
You very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your call. It was worth trying. 1-800-478-8255. 1-800-478-TALK. A local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. And we do have some Anchorage callers, but we'll go to Kodiak in a second. First, from Tom, who joined us by email and said, I want to thank Senator Stevens for all he does for Alaska and especially for his support of the right to keep and bear arms. I believe it is his effectiveness that has made him such a target for the people in Washington, D.C. And then he asks for your comment on that, Senator. If you feel that you are a target, if this is political.
I really don't know, and I haven't gone into motives. I think it's a very unfortunate circumstance that we have these charges. And I think when the testimony comes out, people will understand my reluctance to comment now. I do, as I said, I fully expect that we're going to win this case. I think that's as far as I'd go.
All right. Thank you. 1-800-478-8255. 1-800-478-TALK. Mike joins the program from Kodiak. Welcome to Talk of Alaska with Ted Stevens, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. I had a question about the global war on terror, and I've been reading this book by William R. Polk, who is a Harvard graduate and was director of the Center for Middle Eastern Studies at University of Chicago. And he says that in 1983, a special envoy for President Ronald Reagan went to Iraq specifically to give munitions to Saddam Hussein, which included anthrax. And I was wondering what the senator knew about that, and I also have a follow-up question.
I know nothing of that. Of course, I wasn't privy to that. That's an executive branch function. I haven't read that book. Have you read the book America Alone by David Stein?
No, but I'll look into it.
Yeah.
And the follow-up question is, do you know anything about United States funding Osama bin Laden during the Mujahideen support that we gave during the Reagan and First President Bush administrations?
No, there's a movie out, you know, about the Congressman Wilson who was involved in helping the Mujahideen. I think he may have been involved in Iraq in some ways. He was a Democrat, as you remember, who I helped get money for stingers, and he took the stingers into the Mujahideen. And part of the movie is correct. That was really the stumbling block for the Russians in Afghanistan after they had the stingers, which brought down their helicopters. But I don't know what that is all about. I did not move go in to meet Saddam Hussein myself.
Well, Mike? Thank you, Senator.
All right, Mike, thank you very much. Mike is always reading an interesting book every time
That's
he
good.
Comes. It's an interesting book. We'll go now to, can we get Sean maybe line two? Sean joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Sean.
Thanks, Steve. Good to talk to you and hear you, Senator Stevens. My biggest concern, I think, with our entire congressional delegation, including Senator Stevens, are some recent votes. And all of our delegation has taken an oath of office to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That said, the Military Commissions Act of 2006 suspended habeas corpus, the 13th century right to challenge your detention, which included for American citizens. And as proof of that, the Supreme Court this year on June 12th reinstated that which Senator Stevens voted to suspend. That, combined with the FISA vote, is another attack on the Constitution. And I'm just wondering, how do you justify those votes, Senator Stevens? I mean, providing retroactive immunity for law-breaking telecoms,
who spied on American citizens prior to 9/11. I just don't understand these votes, particularly the suspension of habeas corpus. Could you please comment on that?
You sound like Senator Schumer to me, you know. As a matter of fact, since 9/11, I've tried myself to protect the people of the United States against attack from terrorists coming into our country. Those people who were trying to help, whether telecommunications companies that provided us the numbers, the telephone numbers that helped us locate the terrorists that were in this country that participated in 9/11, as you know. And when you look at all of the things we've done, I have acted on trying to protect the people who live in this country, and I do not believe in the kind of doctrine that you support. We just disagree, so let's not argue. You have your point of view. I have mine.
Sir.
Beg your pardon. Go ahead, Sean.
I was going to suggest if we just focus on one topic, the habeas corpus suspension, the Supreme Court, which is clearly loaded with many Bush appointees, both senior and junior, they actually agreed that had gone too far.
And at the time I voted, they had not ruled that way. Had they ruled that way, I certainly wouldn't have voted that way.
They did. They reinstated habeas corpus on June 12th, sir, and you voted to take it away.
I know that. Before that. I voted before the courts voted.
Well, right. You suspended it, and then they reviewed it.
Well, they decided that action was unconstitutional. They had not made that decision before. Roosevelt suspended habeas corpus in World War II. No, this is not something that's brand new in this country. The question is the extent of the action that requires that, and the Supreme Court said it was not required in this situation. They did not say that we could not do it in time of war.
Well, in the future, I just would hope that we have the right to challenge our detention, because otherwise people can be just locked up indefinitely and not challenge it and not get their fair day in court, whether that's an American citizen, which I strongly support, obviously, or even, foreigners. I think we need to hold the light and hold up our Constitution to the rest of the world.
Those people that you're talking about were killing our people in uniform.
How do you know that?
I mean, because they were caught on the battlefield. They were caught on the battlefield.
Not all of them. Jose Padilla had his right to challenge his detention suspended because of the military tribunals. And I just would hope that we look at this closely and protect the Constitution. It's the only oath the president and the congressmen and the senators are all sworn to protect.
I want you to know you make the same oath, take the same oath when you're sworn into armed services, too. You get the same oath when you're sworn in Senate. I believe in the Constitution. I voted consistent with my understanding of the Constitution. The Supreme Court said that in that instance I was wrong. So I will follow the Supreme Court, okay?
Thanks very much, Senator.
All right, Sean. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Liz, who joins the program from Anchorage. Liz, welcome to Talk of Alaska with Ted Stevens.
Hi there. I just have a quick question. I know it's about the indictment. I know you've had a couple of questions, but I'm just really curious about, I've been following the news, and I know that you are using the unconstitutionality of it. I guess I'm not really sure. Why don't you just say you're innocent?
No, I didn't file that. My lawyers filed that, and it's in court. It is one of the typical motions that defense lawyers file, particularly when there is a separation between the executive branch and the Congress. There are some things that involved that do have they pertain to the constitutional rights of this Congress, and that's what they were trying to protect. I did not file those motions. I did not see them before they're filed. When you hire a lawyer, ma'am, you rely on the lawyer to do what he believes is right. No, the court hasn't ruled on those things, so I cannot comment on them.
Okay.
All right, Liz.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. Well, let's go now to Igigik, where Irene joins the program. Irene, you're on the air. Want to talk about? Whoops! It looks like we lost Irene. Am I reading that correctly? All right. Let's go then to Bethel and Patrick. Patrick, you're on Talk of Alaska with Ted Stevens. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. And, man, listening to all these liberals call in, it just makes me wonder, Senator Ted Stevens, next time a liberal calls in and talks to you, you should say, you know what, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You know, because I bet when they call in, they don't want any drilling. They don't want wind power. They don't want solar power. They don't want tidal power. They don't want coal, methane. It's pretty a sad state of affairs, if you ask me on that. But what I wanted to ask Senator Ted Stevens is when, well, a couple questions. Do you think that how long before we start drilling more in ANWR? And then on top of that, getting back to how everyone is against drilling, especially on the left side, I mean, how would you respond to the Democrats when they say, well, response to the high energy cost is to inflate tires? And that's their cure for the high energy cost.
You know, isn't it funny? Part of them say inflate tires, others say let the air out. I was in one of those debates just listening to it between a series of Democrats, and I got to tell you, I don't know the answer. Some people say if you let air out, you use less gas. Some say if you put more air in, the tires are harder, and it doesn't take as much fuel to move the car. I really don't know that what's been proven. But as far as ANWR is concerned, you know, the nation is changing now. The public opinions are in favor of exploration and development of ANWR, and I believe that's going to happen. It could even happen this fall. But the real thing that I want you to know, we've been working on a lot of things. Most people don't know that the Senate passed my amendment unanimously, which was it's called the CAFE Amendment. We changed the laws regarding how much mileage cars must get. In the past, the federal government set goals for the manufacturers, and if they didn't attain them, they got fined, or they would increase the time within which they could do that. My amendment says we attribute to each car the mileage it actually got the year before, and publish that. And based upon that publication, the consumers will make the choice on what car they want. And with this, I guarantee you, with the price of the pumps being what it is, people are going to buy the cars to get the greatest mileage. So we figure that by 2020, the minimum amount that our cars will get is 35 miles per gallon. Now, that has saved more fuel than anything that's been done by Congress. By the way, Congress passed that bill.
So Patrick wanted a prediction of when we might get ANWR.
I predict, you know, if we stay in long enough, we'll get it this year. It's going to take 60 votes, but I think with Senator McCain changing now as a presidential candidate, I think it's going to put severe pressure on Senator Obama because the public is behind us. And I think they may pass it so it can be signed by President Bush because really neither one of them really wants to sign it, but they don't want the political issue in front of them.
All right, there you go. Let's go to Peter, try and get one more call in here before the break. Peter from Anchorage, you're on the air with Senator Ted Stevens.
Thank you, Steve, and Senator Stevens, thanks for participating in Talk of Alaska. My question is, Senator, why you attack so strongly the people who use the court system to protect their rights? In the oil and gas context, at the beginning of the show here, you mentioned the Arctic oil and gas activities, and those folks are only using the courts to enforce environmental and subsistence protection laws, and the courts are only going to stop oil and gas activities if they find a violation. Why is that a problem?
Well, go back to the oil pipeline. We had had embargo. We had to have rationing and lines, standing in line to get gas, and they still took the pipeline to court. The amendment we passed in the Senate was not an amendment to approve the pipeline. It was an amendment to approve the environmental impact statement, say it was sound, and to forbid the courts from have any court of the United States from taking another case to delay it.
Now, Senator, I don't think anyone would debate that pipeline is better off for the public participation.
Well, let me answer. I listen to you. Now, let me answer. These same people have been against. Since 1980, we fought from 73 to 80 to get the bill passed that President Carter signed that gave us the right to explore and develop ANWR subject only to an environmental impact statement. That had to be approved by Congress and the President. We've tried that now since that time. The group that helped write that law, including President Carter himself, have fought it since that time. Every time we try to get anywhere, we're in court. And that's the same thing.
The local
same
communities
thing.
That live there shouldn't have a voice in this, Senator. I mean, these are the ones who are litigating.
Who's local? No. This money is from outside. You know that. That's the same group. These are the national groups. That's not true. Led by the woman who was. She was Secretary Babbitt's secretary. She's
in a court of law.
Williams has been at this. She was sent up here by the Carter administration, and she has stayed here, and she's organized every one of these lawsuits. So don't tell me that. These aren't people from Alaska. Alaskans are for developing ANWR.
In the court system, it's an independent judiciary, and they can work through everything.
There's no way you can stop it. It all goes to the Ninth Circuit. It all goes to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. It all goes to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has been reversed by the Supreme Court over 90% of the time.
Well, then what's the problem?
Delay.
Court will overturn it.
Delay. If you were right, the pipeline would be under construction, the ANWR would be drilling right now. If you were right, that the courts is just a matter of temporary delay, we'd be developing and pumping from ANWR now. Remember, it was 1980 we were given the right to do it. Last time I looked at the calendar, it's 2008.
Senator, but it's really irrelevant to my question. I appreciate the opportunity for the conversation, though.
All right, Peter. Thank you very much. that was sort of fun to listen to, I have to say. This is Talk of Alaska. Senator Ted Stevens is our guest. He's running for re-election and here to talk with you. And plenty more calls lined up as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from
First National Bank Alaska, branches in 18 communities around the state and on the web at fnbalaska.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
It's Talk of Alaska on the Alaska Public Radio Network statewide. Senator Ted Stevens is our guest, and he's ready for your calls. We go now to Dave, who joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Dave.
Yes, hello. Senator Stevens?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You've taken a lot of bomb blasts, and this is an encouraging call, and I'll say it up front. After 29 years associated with the military in Anchorage and in the Alaska state of Alaska, you have done so much to help us. I want to thank you personally for that. And I'd like to make a statement about perhaps your election, and I'll get off the air. And that is, when I have a terminal operation coming up, potentially terminal, do I want the surgeon who's done 100 operations or more, knows my body, and knows success rate of over 99%, or do I want an intern who's only read about it? And I believe, sir, that I would like to have the surgeon. I'll take it off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave, for your call. I don't think there's too many places to go with that one. A few words of encouragement there from Dave in Anchorage. Let's go now to Jim, who joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Jim. You're on the air with Ted Stevens.
Good morning. I have a question for Senator Stevens regarding real estate business dealings with John Rubini. As reported in the Anchorage Daily News, 6 years ago, the senator invested $50,000 that is now worth over $1 million. And
I believe that the facts show, however, that he did back out of that deal. I think he sold that off, but we'll let him answer to that.
Okay. For a profit of $1 million.
Wait, Senator Stevens, you feel you can answer that? Or
That's a long story, but I invested with originally in closing an estate from Hawaii. A person from Hawaii had owned a lot of property here, and I joined in a series of people who financed that closure and really liquidating the properties. I could have gotten out of that investment then. We reinvested what we made there. Then we had another operation that went on for a year or so, and at the end of that, I could have gotten out again, and others did, and I reinvested the money. I do not own any stocks or bonds. I have invested in Alaska, and that I consider to be a good investment in Alaska. What you just heard Steve say was right, because the criticism with the consent of it was a limited LLC, a limited liability corporation, I asked that I be bought out. I was bought out, and I have formed a blind trust with that money. A bank manages the money now. But that was it wasn't just the first $50,000. It was a series of things we were in that we made money on, and I kept reinvesting, and it did grow. It was a very successful. And I was with a series of really very fine Alaskans. They still some of them still own parts of those investments. I think if I had stayed in, the results would be astronomical. They actually cleared off two former World War II trader parks and turned them into a really dynamic part of the Anchorage economy. So I don't back up at all on that one. That was they were good people, and that was a clean thing. It was completely investigated, and I have put the money now in trust. Whatever it's invested in, the trustee, I don't know what that is.
Can you see how the appearance of impropriety is there for sweetheart deals like these?
What's sweetheart about it? It was a Hawaiian person whose heirs wanted to Alaskans to close out the property they didn't know anything about. So they sold that part of that estate to us. Now, what's sweetheart about that? There was nothing. There's nothing insider about it. They were investors who joined a person who located that interest and bought it. It was bought out in the open. And I don't understand your idea that it's a sweetheart deal. There's nothing sweetheart about it at all.
I certainly can't get that kind of return on my money. I wish I could.
I can't either. Mine is in a bank now, and I get bank return, okay? But that was a unique opportunity, and I saw it and joined and really closing out that estate and disposing of what was on that property and having the property become commercial property. That was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's nothing to a sweetheart deal, though. If you have someone that looks around and finds such estates, there is money to be made out of them. And that idea shows it can be done. We could have lost everything.
The profit comes from federal money that is the return on the investment. I mean, just has the appearance of impropriety.
What do you mean? I don't know. There's nothing federal. I was not involved in anything that was federal. Now, that you're accusing me of something, a crime there. That's real crime. We did not invest in anything that had any federal interest. That is not true.
How about the National Archives building?
Well, how about it?
Jonathan Rubini was involved in the development of that, and there was some land.
But I was not. I was not.
Yeah, that's factual, Jim. And thank you very much for your call.
Thank you for taking my call.
All right, let's go to Dan. That joins the program from Fairbanks. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Dan.
Hello, gentlemen. Senator, regarding the criminal indictments, I understand that.
Oh no, not again.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well,
okay.
You have to be accountable to your constituents. You don't have to refuse to talk about these actions you took. You choose to protect yourself. Don't you think that you should be accountable to the people who elected you regardless of your legal predicament? Either you took expensive gifts from Allen and Vico or you didn't. Who would know better whether you took a cabinet full of tools, a gas grill, or traded a 35-year-old car for a $44,000 one? So did you or didn't you?
I'm not sure that we can get an answer on that.
Well, how about letting the senator answer?
All right.
Why don't you go talk to the FBI? Ask them that question, will you, please? Thanks again.
Well, I think you should.
Goodbye.
To us, sir.
Goodbye.
All right, Dan. You know, you've made the point as you wish to make it.
Well,
it is subject of a trial, and I think it's only legitimate that he not speak about it. And it's also a rule that I agreed to before the program. That's just the way it is.
Also, see, remember now, remember, if I made a comment on this program that was in, could be interpreted as influencing the potential juror, I could be accused of
yes.
Being involved with restraint of the jurors.
Absolutely. You
know? Excuse me, Steve, but the senator is a big boy and can take care of himself.
I know that.
He's been in the game a long time.
You're damn right I can take care of myself anytime you want to come, friend.
All right,
well,
Dan.
I'm here right now, and I'd like to keep talking about why you aren't accountable to the people of the state of Alaska.
I am accountable. I'll be accountable next Tuesday, and I'll be accountable on November 4th. I'm sure you won't be voting for me, but I know thousands and thousands of Alaskans who disagree with you.
Well, Senator, I think you've acquitted yourself in a way that will inform a lot of voters today. Thank you.
All right, Dan. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Nicholas, joins the program from Point Lay. Nicholas, I don't think we've had a call from Point Lay in at least 3 years. Welcome to Talk of Alaska with Ted Stevens.
Thank you. It sounds like I won't be able to help in changing his heart on the oil business, but what I really want to hear the senator is what he thinks about solar energy and electric cars. And because the reason why I'm asking is because I live with the animals here, and we had these two ships on a seismic program, and now we have to go hunt further to get our food for the year, and that's our garden out there. And then there's no way we can stop that, is it, on the oil business? We have to go a long ways to hunt these animals. We take care of them. And we hunt them and make a living out of them, just like you guys in your garden. You take care of your garden daily, and we do the same thing in our ocean. And all I want to hear is what he think about it.
Well, I'm all for solar power. I think solar power is good. We put wind power in, and it costs you to test it. I do think that there is no question about the fact we've got to protect those ocean mammals. As a matter of fact, I'm the author of the amendment that protects them. Senator Muskie wanted to say that no one could touch an ocean mammal. I had an enormous fight on the floor of the Senate to get the exemption from the Marine Mammal Act passed so that you could continue your traditional rights to hunt mammals. So we have done our best to protect those rights, and I'll continue to do everything I can to protect your rights to hunt.
Okay, and it's already happening, you know, that these seismic ships that go out there, they scared our animals. Now we have to go further to get them.
All right, Nicholas, thank you. I think he's referring to the seismic in the Chukchi.
Yeah.
1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. Ted Stevens is our guest. He's running for re-election and ready to speak with you. Let's try Shishmaref and Robert. A related question, perhaps. Robert, you're on Talk of Alaska with Ted Stevens.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Senator Stevens. Obviously, you'll have my vote this year. Once again, I got a question as to the global warming here. You know, our community at Shishmaref have been studied inside and out, and exactly where does the federal government sit on this topic?
Well, we've been working, as you know, with the state and with the tribal leaders to try and arrange, and with the Corps of Engineers in particular, to arrange to see how we can proceed to protect those barrier islands there, that such as Shishmaref. As you know, I've been out there several times, and we've watched the various things have been tried to to protect your island. I do think where we said is that we're still trying to work with the thing. Last time we had a meeting in my office was that we agreed that between the Denali Commission and the state and the federal government and the tribal organizations, who was going to do what to help us prepare the plan, the direction, and figure out who should get the assistance first. Well, the trouble is to get the assistance. It's very hard now to get extra assistance from the federal government. The state has some $50 billion almost in the bank, and if they tell us, you know, the federal government will assist, but they're not going to get out there in front of the state. The state's going to have to participate more, and, you know, that's not easy to get the state to put up money for things out there. So we're trying to work as hard as we can to protect you, and I think there's no question that you do need protection. Probably may have to, the time may come and you may have to move. But Robert, it's nice to talk to you.
Yes, and have a good day. And other than that, I appreciate your answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Robert, thank you. It's my understanding with the Denali Commission that the governor is starting to come around to a state match on those.
It's not state match. It's state getting out in front. And the cost, however, is substantial. To move one of those villages will cost in excess of $100 million per village. And here's the problem. In years gone by, those were summer camps. Of course, the people would prefer to live there year-round, so we started putting in runways and schools and houses and you know, insulated houses, and off, they're up on stilts. It worked for a while. It was a very good thing. All of those villages were doing very well. And then we got this series of storms, which many people believe is because of the change in the overall climate concept, not going from hotter, but going from hot to cold. But anyway, the severity of these storms is such that they put these villages at risk that they're on those islands. And the question is what to do about it. We put up some bulwarks to try and keep the ocean from undermining the village. And unfortunately, some of them didn't work. So we're in another generation of protection this year. We're going to have to see what happens this year. And based on that, I think we'll have to decide who starts to move next year.
All right. Ted Stevens is our guest. It's Talk of Alaska. Before we take the break, let's try one more from Maura in Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Maura. Hello, Maura. Line 6. Maybe it went into a different phone patch or something. Okay. We'll take the break then and come back. Ted Stevens, we've got about 10 minutes left to go. If you want to get your call in, 1-800-478-8255. Let's talk to Alaska. Continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from this APRN member station.
9 out of 10 of Alaska's boating fatalities are adult males. Most drowned following an unexpected fall or capsized into cold water. Cold water can kill the unprepared, regardless of swimming ability. Wearing a life jacket can make the difference between life and death. Make your family's boating memories good ones. Always wear a life jacket when boating Alaska's cold water. This message sponsored by the Alaska Office of Boating Safety.
Our guest is Ted Stevens. He's running for re-election, and it's Talk of Alaska. Ready for your phone calls at 1-800-478-8255. A local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. We go to Homer, though, and Mike. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Stevens. How are you this morning?
Good, Mike.
Yes. My question is pertaining to a statement you've made twice in this past hour, saying that most Alaskans would like ANWR to be open. And I was just wondering if you could give us references to your statistics on that information, or possibly if it was your gut feeling. And I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
It's based on polls that I've seen over the years. I've never seen one in Alaska where Alaskans opposed, majority of Alaskans opposed ANWR.
And it's also, you can't think of a political race that anyone ran in statewide where they opposed ANWR and got elected.
Right.
Okay, let's go to Maura again. Let's try one more time from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Maura.
Is it working this time?
It's working this time.
Okay. Hi, Senator Stevens. How are you today?
Good. Fine. Thank you, Maura.
Okay, great. I'm a born and raised Alaskan, currently an undecided voter. I'm just curious. I've been following the news lately, and they were mentioning that you supported an ethics bill in 1989 that Congress had passed, and it was amended ethics and government bill that said that members of Congress needed to disclose their financial reports, anything exceeding $200. And then now your defense team is saying that that is unconstitutional. And I'm just wondering if you can talk to us Alaskans about how that's unconstitutional in 2008, but in 1989 that was satisfactory.
As I said before, I've not seen that pleading. It was filed by my lawyers in Washington. They've been hired to do it.
Give us your opinion, aside from what your lawyers are saying.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to give my opinion about what my lawyer's done it. I haven't read. So thank you very much. I don't know who gave you that amendment, that question, but whoever it is, whoever gave you the question, ask them for the answer.
All right, Maura. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Not going to get an answer there. In line three, I think in courtesy, Deborah Williams has called. Deborah, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hello, Deborah.
Hello, Senator Stevens. Hello, Steve. Thank you for taking my call. I was in a meeting when I understand that, Senator Stevens, you mentioned my name.
I did mention your name.
I wanted to, but I received several calls. And what I wanted to do, if I could, is first of all say that, Senator Stevens, you and I have worked very well together on numerous issues, even going back to the Alaska Lung Association. And I was saddened to hear your characterizations of me, but it raises a more important point. And I think the important point is that Alaska has a small population. We are still a frontier state where I think it is so important for us to work as well as we can together, to not malign one another and also not to pass false information about one another. It is so decisive and divisive in this state to characterize people as outsiders. I just wanted to let you know, Senator Stevens, and the listenership, that I first came to Alaska in 1972. It was my choice to bring my family up here on vacation. And it was in 72 that I fell in love with the state when I was still in college and knew this is where I wanted to live. I was born and raised in Southern California. I couldn't, you know, I had no control over that. But I came to Alaska as soon as I could. I came up in 1977 and 78 and worked in a private law firm. Of course, Senator Stevens, you and I went to the same law school. And I did move up here full-time in 1980. But my commitment to the state goes back to the various earliest time. I have lived here over 30 years. I love this place. And for all of us who love Alaska, I think an important part of loving Alaska is we are true to our convictions, which I believe I have been. We proceed fairly. We work with people. We can disagree respectfully. But I think it does a disservice to the individuals in this state and to the state as a whole when we disagree disrespectfully and when we, give people characterizations that are incorrect and are divisive. So I would just urge you, Senator Stevens, as you proceed with this campaign, to remember we are all Alaskans. We love this state. And it is, I believe, as a public official and all our responsibility to bring this state together as opposed to dividing the state with rhetoric.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I share your love, as you know. I've dedicated my life to this state in many ways. Answer me this. Why don't you disclose your contributions, the people that pay your organization? Why don't you file a disclosure like I do of everything I get, wherever I get my money?
Oh, of course, when I was the head of the Alaska Conservation Foundation, we did in our annual report disclose every single contribution we got above $100. It was in the annual reports. And so there was full disclosure and also on the 990s.
But you disclose entities that don't disclose their contributions, didn't you? I mean,
Pardon
the National Environmental Organization, they don't disclose their contributions.
They do in their annual reports and in their 990s.
No, they just don't disclose when they trade contributions from one entity to another.
I'm sorry?
I appreciate your call very much, and we have worked together in many things. Again, I say, though, your opposition to resource development is well known, and I think I'm correct in saying that you have persisted in opposing the development in the Arctic.
Well, no, Senator Stevens, and I would... As I'm sure you recall, I was one of the main leaders of the effort to open up the northeast portion of the Nash Petroleum Reserve.
All right, Deborah, you're cutting out, and we're just about out of time.
Well, I'm sorry, but I do respectfully disagree with that statement, Senator Stevens, and I believe the record contradicts that statement.
Not on Enron, it's not wrong.
No, that is true. I firmly believe in protecting the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. I think we have a moral responsibility as well as a cultural and ecological responsibility.
All right. Thank you very much, but you're not the one that's running for re-election. Well, I've got Albert in Shishmaref and also Rhonda in Kodiak. I hope to get both of them in, but a fish question from Kodiak, I'm not sure. This could take care of it. Rhonda, welcome to Talk of Alaska with Ted Stevens. Oh, there it is. All right. Thank you, Rhonda. No fish. I can guarantee no discussion of fish on a statewide call-in show with Ted Stevens. I don't think this has ever happened. Let's go to Albert in Shishmaref. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Albert.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Good morning, Senator Stevens. I'm calling to find out if you foresee any more funding for more seawall or more rocks for the seawall here in Shishmaref.
All right, he did just address that.
Yes, I do think in the Corps of Engineers budget this year, we haven't passed those appropriations bills yet. None of the appropriations bills have passed, but there is funding to continue that. I have talked to the Corps of Engineers about it. I hope we can continue that, Albert, and hope to see you again this fall.
Okay, thank you, Senator, and have a good day.
All right.
Well, we have time for one more, and it is Sarah in Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Sarah.
Hi. I was actually just calling to see if you, Senator Stevens, win the primary next week, if you promise to stay in the election through the general.
Oh, yeah, we already went into that. He said he's not looking at that.
Do what?
Oh, okay.
Do what?
If you survive the primary, and you don't survive the trial, what's next?
I thought she said if I was going to stay and run in the general election.
Yeah, was my question.
Right.
I will. I'm going to state and run right at November 4th, yes.
Okay, so you promised to run until November. Okay, thank you so much, Senator Stevens.
All right, Sarah, thank you. So even if convicted, you just appeal and continue to run.
What? That wasn't her question.
Oh, okay.
She said, would I stay in the race, as I understand it.
All right. Well, good. We do have about a minute left, Senator. What are your plans between now and the primary?
I'm going to continue to go throughout the state. You know, it's an interesting thing on your program. I've traveled the state now for almost a month. This is the first program I've ever been asked those questions about the investigation or the Kerr case. I think that's a very interesting thing. I'm going to have to think about why in this program, in 1 hour, I've had more questions than I've had in a month. Thank you.
All right. The what would you say outside of ANWR is left to be done in this congressional session?
Well, we've got to deal with the energy question. There's no question about it. The price of the pump is terrible. The price of fuel oil is terrible. I think We've got to find some way. The governor has taken the lead. I think we'll have a permanent fund dividend in addition to that, so Alaskans will have some money to carry through this fall and the early winter. But we've got to find some way to bring that price of the pump down. I'm working with Diane Feinstein on the question of speculators in terms of oil futures. We believe that the oil future traders are increasing the price at the pump, and that's been testified to before our committees. So that, if we continue that, I think maybe we may bring down the price of the pump by really going after the speculators very hard.
The appropriations bills, do you think we'll manage to get them through?
I'm not chairman anymore, and I think that the real problem is whether there's a will to put them all together in one bill and make them so that they'll get bipartisan support. If they do that, we'll get them through.
All right. Thank you very much, Senator Ted Stevens. Been our guest on Talk of Alaska. Dave Waldron at the controls, Len Anderson on the phones, Duncan Moon, our managing editor. I'm Steve Heimel. Thank you so much for listening.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network. By BP, proud to support public broadcasting in Alaska.
APRN will be providing special coverage of the 50th anniversary of Alaska statehood. For sponsorship information, call 550-8400.
Views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at aprn.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.